The smoke got thicker as we went down one flight of stairs, then another. It started getting hard to breathe, and I was choking on it as we descended. I began to panic. It's the smoke that kills most people, long before the fire ever gets to them. But there seemed little to do but press on. Then we were through the smoke. The fire had begun 3 floors below Anna's apartment, and the fire door to that floor was simply missing from its hinges. Black smoke rolled thickly out of the hall beyond it. We had made it down through the smoke, but there were 4 floors above ours, and the smoke was being drawn up the stairs like they were an enormous chimney. The people still above us would be blinded by it, unable to breathe, and God only knew what would happen to them.
Elaine!
I choked out.
Got it!
She called back, coughing, and then she was beside the doorway, black smoke trying to envelop her. She extended her right hand in a gesture that somehow managed to be imperious, and the smoke abruptly vanished. Well, not exactly. There was a faint shimmer of light over the open doorway, and on the other side of it, the smoke roiled and billowed as if pressing up against glass. The acoustics of the stairway altered, the chewing roar of fire suddenly muted, the sound of footsteps and panting people becoming louder. Elaine examined the field over the doorway for a moment, nodded once, and turned to catch up with us, her manner brisk and businesslike.
You need to stay to let anyone through?
I asked her. Mouse leaned against my legs, clearly afraid and eager to leave the building. She held up a hand to silence me. After a moment, she said,
No.
Permeable to the living.
Concentrating. We have a minute, maybe two.
Permeable? Holy moly. I could never have managed that on the fly. But then Elaine always was more skilled than me when it came to the complex stuff.
Right, I said. I took her hand, plopped it down on Anna's shoulder, and said, Move, come on.
After that, it was nothing but stairs, bobbing flashlights, echoing voices, and footsteps. I run, not because it's good for me, even though it is, but because I want to be able to run whenever something's chasing me. It did me a limited amount of good, given that I was spending half of my time coughing on the still-present smoke, but I at least had enough presence of mind to keep an eye on Anna and the distracted Elaine, as well as making sure that I didn't trip over Mouse or get trampled from behind. When we got to the second floor, I prepped my shield and called over my shoulder,
Elaine?
She let out a gasping breath, her head bowing forward. She wavered and clutched at the stairs handrail. Anna moved at once to support her and keep her moving. There was a crashing, roaring sound above us, and cries of fright came down the stairs.
Move! Move! I told them.
Elaine, be ready to shield!
She nodded once and twisted a simple silver ring on her left forefinger around, revealing a kite-shaped device not unlike one of my own charms. We went down the last flight of stairs and hit the door to the street. Outside, it was not dark. Though the street light beside the building was out, the others on the street worked just fine. Added to that was the fire from the burning apartment. It wasn't blinding or anything, since you could see it only through windows, and whenever one of those was open or broken, it tended to billow black smoke. I could see clearly, though. People came rushing out of the building, all coughing. Someone outside the building, or with a cell phone, must have called in the fire because an impressive number of emergency vehicle sirens were drawing nigh. The escapees filed across the street, for the most part, getting to what seemed a safe distance and turning back to look at their homes. They were in various states of dishabille, including one rather generously appointed young lady wearing a set of red satin sheets and dangling a pair of 6-inch heels from one hand. The young man with her, with a red silk bathrobe belted kilt-like around his waist, looked understandably frustrated. I noticed only because, as a professional investigator, I have trained myself to be a keen observer. That's why, as I looked around the rest of the crowd, to see if red satin sheets and spike heels were becoming a new fad, and if maybe I should have some on hand just in case, I saw the tall man in the gray cloak. He was shadowed by the headlights of fire trucks coming down the street toward us, but I saw the sway of the gray cloak. As if he'd sensed my attention, he turned. I got nothing useful out of his silhouette for identifying him.
I guess the gray-cloaked man didn't know that. He froze for a full second, facing me, and then turned and sprinted around the corner.
Mouse, I snapped. Stay with Anna.
Then I took off after Greycloak.